Today on the AF Podcast, we've waited long enough for it. We've been force-fed some of the most non-competitive playoff series in many years. But after waiting approximately 6 weeks since the conference finals ended, we can finally get into the 2017 NBA Finals. Cavs, Warriors, LeBron, KD, Steph, Kyrie, Love, Draymond, Klay, Derek Williams. Not Derek Williams. Either way, we discuss it all here. I invite Randall Walter, coach of Team Breakdown's AAU basketball program, as we discuss what these finals means for LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry, who we think the X factors of the finals will be, how much longer can the reign of the Cavs and Warriors last in their respective conferences, our final predictions, of course, plus more. To listen to more podcast shows, make sure you subscribe right now to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio. Let's do it.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio.
Today on the AF Podcast, I'd like to welcome my guest, friend of the podcast, formerly the coach of the Etobicoke Thunder, now the coach of Team Breakdown out of Brampton, former Maine Black Bear free safety, and South Shore alumnus. Please welcome back Randall Walter to the show. What up? What's good?
What's good, man? Oh, I'm loving the intros, man. Loving the intros. Headley would be heated. I'm getting them. I'm feeling the love on the South Shore ad. You know how we do.
You've been on the podcast enough. I figure at this point now you can start pouring your own juice now. Now it's good. I got orange juice. Orange juice and fruit punch. Pour either one. Mix them both. You can mix them both at this point now.
I need some Trini run with that boy.
Yo, so did you enjoy the conference finals, or were you like me and refused to watch most of the games in that last round?
Oh, well, you know what? I mean, I think we all knew what the outcome would be, man. I mean, you know, I was a little disappointed about the Spurs and Golden State. Yo, shout out to my cuz, Joel Anthony. My man got some burn. That's all I care about. I wish they'd have got a couple wins in, but you know how it is. Mm-hmm. One injury, that's basketball. Sometimes all it takes is one injury for the whole series to go. I mean, you see that all playoffs, so.
Yeah, no, definitely. Honestly, I had no interest in even watching the Eastern Conference Finals. I kind of gave it a chance to see if it would just be anything interesting. After the first quarter of Game 1, I gave the wife the remote so she could watch Real Housewives of Atlanta, and I never looked back. I was like, yo, go watch Portia and them, man. I can't take this no more, man.
What a train wreck.
And then I thought maybe, you know what, the Western Conference Finals would be more entertaining. I was like, you know what, I'm going to at least watch that one, support Joel, and then, you know, obviously see that matchup between the Spurs and the Warriors. I've been waiting to see them meet up in the playoffs for the last little while, at least since last season. But then, you know, once Kawhi turned his ankle, again, I lost all interest, man. Especially when LaMarcus Aldridge was looking like he saw like a ghost on the floor. I don't know what the hell was going on with him.
You know, overall, I just think that right now, as it stands, and what's pretty sad, I mean, I've been listening to a couple other podcasts and stuff, and I think that the tide really turned in the NBA when Durant went over to Golden State. And say what you want about that trade. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's a whole nother type of podcast. But, you know, the balance in the West really shifted, and I think the mindset of – and it's my personal opinion. I mean, we come from that, and we kind of, you know, we come from that era. We grew up in the 80s, right? Like, we were able to watch real man basketball, I call it, right? And nowadays, the game has changed so much. And what it comes down to at the end of the day is grit, right? We've seen it all playoffs long. I mean, talent is one thing, but in the playoffs, you got to have that grit. You got to have that mental fortitude to really persevere through any adversity, and there's certain players we're seeing just they get that guap, they get that cash, but you know what I mean? They're not really, they're not at that level like the LeBrons, and say what you want about LeBron, but LeBron's at that level, right? And I think that, you know, we'll probably get into it later, but someone like, you know, Durant, I mean, he's chasing that ring, and you're seeing it right now that these guys like Draymond Green, these guys are dialed in, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just a different class of player.
Again, that's the part that sucks about Kawhi getting hurt, because honestly, if anybody watched that first game of that series, that was no fluke, man. Kawhi was honestly he was legitimately the best player on the floor on both ends of the floor before he got hurt.
Oh yeah.
So with Kawhi getting hurt, honestly, after that, I basically just started catching up on all my favorite TV shows and movies I missed out on. The joke is I purposely waited till the NBA games came back on so I could purposely start watching these shows and movies. Randall, I watched Logan. I started catching up on Billions. I watched this Michael Jackson documentary there on as well. I think it was called it was basically based on the Off the Wall album, which was really dope. Anybody who hasn't seen that yet, that was dope. I even watched a couple of Martin episodes, man. I really did. I really did, man. So while everybody was sitting there complaining about the series, I'm sitting on the couch talking about, boy, that Martin is a goddamn genius. Oh, that boy funny.
Yo, you know what? Do you think the entertainment factor has been watered down in the NBA?
You know what? The sad thing is, at the beginning of the playoffs, the first round, I actually enjoyed it. I know some people didn't like it. But I enjoyed it. We all knew what the outcome was going to be, but I was like, you know what? At least let it be entertaining until we get what we're supposed to be getting. But then after the first round, it became really predictable after that. Like Golden State smoked, who was it? Was it Utah? Yeah, they smoked Utah. You know, Cleveland did the same to Toronto. You know, that Washington-Boston series was nice. That one was like, it was almost like a throwback series to back in the day where two teams didn't like each other. That was nice. And then you had the Spurs in Houston, which was nice for a little while. They had some good games. And then that game six where Harden was basically a no-show, that part of it just killed the momentum of the, I guess, the rest of the hype going into that series, obviously, because they got smoked by like 40.
Yeah.
And then when the conference finals started, that's what I was saying before, I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe that the Western Conference Finals, I'm going to peep that one because that one should be interesting. But like I said, again, I keep repeating it. Once Kawhi went down, I was like, yeah, it's over. It's over because he was dominating again on both ends of the floor. He was like Deion Sanders. Remember back in the day when you couldn't throw on his side of the field?
That was one man show.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts.
But do you think that also, like, I know Parker, he's not like the Parker of the old days. But do you think that if Parker was in as well and Kawhi was healthy, it would be more of a series?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because I agree with you. I don't think, you know, Parker's not the same guy, obviously. You know, he's been in the league, what, like 16 years now? 35 years old. So, you know, I understand the fact that he's not.
No, I don't think he's that old.
Yeah, he is. He's 35, man. He came in the league. As not, sure? Like, yeah, he's been in the league since he was 19.
Ooh, 35 already.
Yeah, he's 35. Damn. But, like, I wasn't expecting Golden State to lose the series, even if both of them were healthy. But I figured, you know, it was going to be like a hard six-game series.
Hard-fought series.
Yeah, hard-fought series. Because, I mean, part of the reason why Popovich rests his veterans so much is for moments like this, to unleash them in the playoffs. And for what it's worth, Parker still has something left in the tank. He's not washed up yet. So,
no.
You know, and then, like I said, and then with Kawhi being on top of his game, and then you're, again, with Aldridge and all the other veterans and role players coming off the bench, some of the young guys, you know, that's why I was like, okay, you know what? They're not gonna beat Golden State, but we're at least gonna see a good matchup. But like I said, we didn't even get that either. The finals is finally here. Basically, after another vacation from the playoffs, game one starts tonight at the Oracle Arena, home of the Golden State Warriors. So I'll start off with this question first: is this a defining series for LeBron James' career?
Absolutely. I'm telling you guys right now, like LeBron, he's already, I think he's taken a step in the right direction by winning last year, you know, coming from behind and winning that series. Right now, to secure his legacy, this is just the best type of setting you can ever have. Think about this right now. LeBron came back, won it. People could say that's an anomaly, right? This year, the table is set. you got this quote-unquote super team over in the West that people are saying are just it's unbeatable, right? And now you got LeBron over there who's having a career playoff season, right? Just playing at another notch. If LeBron is chasing Jordan, what better way would it be in the history books not only to win a back-to-back chip, go to the finals, what is it now, 7 times in a row, mm-hmm. but to knock off this super team? Mm-hmm. It definitely would put him in the history books as one of the greatest of all time. I think he still will go down as one, but there's always that asterisk, right?
Right.
So this is the show. This is what it's about right now. And we're going to see what LeBron, not only his talent, but what his leadership can bring to the Cavs.
Right. The way I'd answer this question is this. I think it is a defining series only if he wins. I mean, I even asked this question in the NBA preseason podcast, that if LeBron took down this version of the Dubs, at least I was asking the question, can he open up the argument of him being compared to Michael Jordan? Now, while I think it's a great feat if that occurs, I still say he doesn't match or come. I still say he's not Michael. He doesn't come to Michael. And
no,
Randall, we both saw Michael Jordan play, and I'll get into why I hate that whole comparison in just a moment. But people are looking at the fact that LeBron is playing on a super team as well. Think about it, man. It's basically like the Justice League versus the Avengers. So if he's the underdog, is he still not on the Avengers? You know, and think about it. He's been playing on an Avengers-type squad for like 7 years now. And the thing is, he leads them to the finals every year, so, you know, you got to give him props for that. But he's been on the super team every year since 2010. We can't deny that. I mean, I think everybody overlooks that, but, I mean, they try to make it seem like he's playing with a bunch of scrubs half the time, and it's like, that's not the case.
No, but what team has legitimately on their squad 4 all-stars? 4 hypothetically all-stars that can start. Not many teams. Now, they have 3 all-stars, 2 of which are really, really good players. You know, and I think, you know, Kyrie is he's a younger player. I think he's grown a lot of playing with LeBron. But I still think that you can't compare the star power. You know, they're almost like the Showtime Lakers star power, right? Compared to what the Cavs have.
The way I look at it is like this. It's like, just because time and history has passed, like history kind of downplays the fact that kind of when he joined Miami, he was playing with 2 other teammates that were top 15 in the league. I mean, and I know you remember this because obviously Wade was at worst a top 3 player at the time that LeBron went to Miami. And Bosh, mm-hmm. you could say, was probably like a top 15 player. Definitely one of the best power forwards in the league.
Uh-huh.
And then when he left Miami 3 years ago, he created another one back at home with Kyrie, who was one of the best point guards at the time. And then trading to get Kevin Love, who at the time was probably top 10, maybe top 15 at worst. So, yeah. I mean, so I understand that they're, like, Golden State has 4 basically all-NBA players. But case in point, LeBron has always had studs on his team. So, I mean, think about it. The way I look at it is like this. When he came back to Cleveland, it was basically set up for his team to dominate the rest of the decade, especially with him still being in his prime and his studs being so young, a couple with, like, the Tristan Thompsons, and then they traded for J.R. Smith and all those other guys. But nobody was expecting Golden State to rise the way they did. They came out of nowhere, and it basically took their shine away to some degree for the last 3 years. So, I don't know. Like I said, it makes for great basketball, but no one predicted the rise of Curry or anybody else on this squad. You know, and then it was like a historical anomaly last year, the way the salary cap rose to the point where it could afford them to get somebody like Kevin Durant, who just happened to be a free agent. He just happened to be a free agent the same year that the cap rose. So it's a historical anomaly. Nobody ever expected that either. So, I mean, that's a situation you're probably never going to see again, because you know the owners are going to lock that down in the next CBA to make sure something like that never happens with a cap. Even if there's a windfall to the cap, they're going to probably, you know, stretch it out little by little. They're not going to make it jump to that degree where a superstar could leave and join a championship team the way it happened with Golden State. So I think LeBron wasn't expecting the way he set up this decade. Like, it was basically from the run the next decade. They weren't think about it at the time. San Antonio, they just won the championship, but they were older. There was nobody in the East to really to deal with what Cleveland had. Other than like the Clippers maybe at the time, like there was no real threat other than that. Like no new superpower was coming from anywhere until Golden State just rose from the ashes and just started winning, right?
Right.
So I look at it like this. Like I think LeBron set up the scenario in his favor during that press conference after Game 5 in Boston where he's essentially praising Golden State, you know, making it seem like it's an impossible feat to beat Golden State. So if they lose, it's going to be the scenario of like, yo, look who they lost to. They lost to a superpower. And if he wins, then he basically beat Goliath, even though, you know, David has superpowers on top of that slingshot. You know, it's a great position to be in, man. But you know that's how it's going to be sold to us.
Let me put that in perspective, Colin. And I just want your opinion on this. Mm. So do you think if the Cavs were in the West that they would able to – and let's take Golden State out. Right? And the Cavs were in Golden State's position. Do you think that they would be able to go to the NBA Finals with that team, fighting through a healthy Western Conference?
It's tough. I think they could. I think it would be really tough. I think San Antonio would be the one team that might be able to stop them on a consistent basis. If you had to take Golden State out of the West and put Cleveland in the Western Conference. But I think it's with Cleveland having their superpower team in the East, it's beneficial definitely to them because there's really and truly there's no other threat to their throne right now.
No.
You know,
it's very clear. And and that's kind of where I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is if I'm not taking anything away from the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, they're a great squad. You know, they've done a great job, you know, in putting that team together. What I'm trying to say is there ain't nobody in the NBA right now that should, on paper, should be able to beat Golden State in a 7-game series. Not one. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't think LeBron hypothetically has a chance, but that's yet to be seen.
Yeah, that's what I always say. That's why you got to play the game, right? Everything looks one way on paper, but we'll see what happens when they play the game. And you know what? Just to touch on this other point too, I just have to, you know, because it seems like this is the hot topic for everybody these last few weeks. But you know, honestly, I hate that the Michael Jordan comparison so much, and I'm not even going to focus on the stats. At no point in time, Randall, did I ever think that their games were comparable. Like, I never felt like I was watching the next Michael Jordan in any way when I was watching LeBron. Like, from the time he came into the NBA from high school, I always felt he was something closer to Magic Johnson.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think they got the same game, nor did they play the same position.
No.
I think, you know, he's in the vein of like an Oscar Robinson. And by no means have I ever seen him play to the length that I have like Magic. Because Magic was my favorite player growing up.
Right.
But, you know, I really think he's of that Magic vein. I think LeBron's his own type of entity. I think he's his own player, creating his own legacy. He's a different type of player. Mm-hmm. He has that power. He has that agility. Magic was never as athletic as LeBron. I think skill-wise, he probably, you know, was a little bit more of a facilitator than LeBron, but not to say LeBron couldn't be one. But two different type of players, two different type of, you know, mentalities as well. I think, you know, when it comes down to winning, LeBron still has stuff to prove. And I think that's always going to be, when you come down to talking about the greatest of all time or who the greats are and ranking them, that's going to hurt LeBron, right? Jordan, you know, how many rings do you have? Seven or something?
Six.
Was it seven? Six? I mean, LeBron hypothetically could get there, but it's how you get there. That's the question.
Yeah.
Right? LeBron is what now in the playoffs? He's gone to the chip seven times and he's lost four.
Right.
So he's only won that's kind of the blemish on his legacy right now is winning, right? Well, again, it's yet to be seen. But comparing to Jordan, I don't think he's there. And I think he's always going to chase that ghost.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's what it is. But I just think it's funny because you watch guys like Shannon Sharp and different people like Colin Cowherd and everybody else that's on the air right now praising LeBron. And I mean, that's great. He's the best player of his generation. You can't take that away from him. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm a LeBron hater, because I'm not. And again, Magic Johnson was my favorite player too. Like, it wasn't Michael Jordan, but I don't think you can ignore some of the meltdowns he had in the playoffs either. Like, when it comes to James, like that whole thing in the finals against Dallas. I mean, we all saw that the year before. The Delonte West game. When he disappeared. I mean, there's been moments with LeBron, and I've always believed this. There's been moments with LeBron where you feel like you can almost crack him. You never quite felt that way with Jordan. Kobe was a pretty hard guy to crack too, but I think he went about it a little more selfishly when shit hit the fan. But like with LeBron, you can just see it in his face. Like, I remember, okay, so for example, like I remember that when they played in the finals against the Spurs, I think that's the one where Ray Allen hit the three, right? To tie them. But I remember right before all that happened, I remember Parker, there was like less than 2 minutes left to go in the game, and the game was tied, and he was guarding Parker all up in his grill, and Parker did a step back three, and it hit nothing but mesh. And I remember after that, I forgot who I was speaking to at the time. It might have been my cousin, Brian, but I remember I was like, yo, like, you can see like the wires basically being frayed in his brain. Like, you can see he was like, oh, what the fuck is happening? I don't know what to do now. And I always believe, like, yo, if Ray Allen doesn't hit that three, this whole path with LeBron, we're talking about this differently.
Calvin.
Yeah.
I was in Miami for the last games, right?
Right.
They were rolling out the red carpet, putting up the tarps already, basically saying game is done after that.
Right.
Right. I think, again, like, at the end of the day, we'll remember that. But it's funny. What did Scalabrine say? Okay? In 3 years, you'll still be talking about it. And in 5 years, you'll be saying, oh, yeah, congratulations. In 10 years, you know what? In the next generation, Calvin, are we going to really remember the meltdowns LeBron had? Because I'm going to tell you, as many meltdowns as he had, I mean, and I like LeBron. He's had some incredible performances, not just this year, but listen, he basically put that team on his back to come back and beat the Golden State Warriors last year.
Let me add, and so did Kyrie. You can't ignore Kyrie in that too. But go on.
No. You're absolutely right. Without LeBron, there's no Kyrie. Period. Kyrie could be a great player, but without a LeBron, there's no Kyrie. And I would love someone to dispute that Kyrie would be able to do that alone without a LeBron.
No, and again, LeBron is the leader of that team, but I think it goes both ways, because I don't think LeBron gets that title without. You got to remember, like last year, when LeBron was hitting those 40-point games, so was Kyrie.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like Kyrie is a special. Like, he is a special talent on offense. Like, he is special. I don't, and that's the thing. Like, I don't think, like, I think LeBron makes players better. I don't think he makes Kyrie better in that way. Like, personally, offense. Because when Kyrie's ready to go, there's really not much you can do. I think he's helped Kyrie be a little more unselfish in a sense. Because you see, he gets caught up in the moment when he's swinging the ball around and stuff too, which is nice to see. But
yeah.
But I think in general though, I don't think he completely makes that guy better. Like, it wasn't like, yo, Kyrie was crap, and then LeBron got there and it's like he came in and saved his basketball career in that sense in terms of his talent. But I think playoff wise, yes, of course, definitely. Like, he did help him that way for sure.
Problem is even when LeBron has a bad game, if LeBron's a smart player, he knows what to do if he's off. He's a facilitator. And the thing is, when LeBron becomes a facilitator, the game even opens up even more. Yeah. And it opens up for him as well, right? So, yeah. Kyrie, he can't do all those ISO things and really go off if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's putting the ball in his hands?
Yeah.
LeBron's.
Yeah, you can argue LeBron's the point guard of the team, more or less, right?
He is the point guard.
Yeah, you can definitely argue that. Like Kyrie's the killer of that team. He hit that game-winning shot in Game 7, right, last year. Like, that, he's that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying LeBron isn't. And again, I don't want to make it seem like I think LeBron is overrated. And because I say that he's not as good as Michael Jordan, it should never mean that he's underrated. He's absolutely incredible talent, as we're discussing now. And he's the best player of his generation. He's just not the best ever. That's it. But honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think that should be an indictment on him. He's just not the best ever. Like, he's one of the best, but not the best ever. That's it. That's all.
Would he be on your Mount Rushmore?
I don't know if he would be, to be honest with you. At least not yet. Let the cement dry before I answer that question, I would say. But I'll look at it like this again. And I'm sorry, Michael Jordan was not my favorite player.
Mine either.
But I'll say this, and I'll bring this up. I was talking with somebody about this a few days ago. I'm sorry, Michael Jordan that we saw before he retired the first time, when he played Phoenix in the finals. Randall, mm-hmm. I was looking at the stats for that the other day. He was averaging 44 a game in the finals. Like, 44, 5, and 6 or some craziness like that. Like, Randall, like, and I remember even back then, because I was rooting for Phoenix. And I remember back then, I'm like, yo, this is the best I've ever seen. I can honestly still say that to this day. I've never seen another player as good as that version of Michael Jordan. Like, that version of Michael Jordan that was just basically annihilating everything in his path before he left. Before he retired the first time, I've never seen anything that good ever. Because that was Jordan on top of his game mentally, physically, everything, you know? Like nothing was touching that guy. Even when he came back the first time when he came back and he got the second three-peat, like he was still Jordan, but he wasn't that guy. And so when I look at LeBron, I'm like, again, LeBron is an incredible player, but I don't want to say that he was to that level. So I guess to answer that question, I think that if he gets this fourth title, especially beating this team, I guess you could kind of put it in the conversation. But knowing that it's never gonna overtake Jordan. It's just
no,
at least
no,
not to no. me. It just never is. It never is.
I agree. I definitely agree.
All right, let me move to the next question. Is this a defining moment for Kevin Durant's career?
That's a great question.
Because honestly, I don't know.
No. I know people are going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, of course this is. I don't think so. I think whether he wins or loses, I really think, how do I explain this? The pressure is kind of off him because he's on this super team, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I think collectively they'll get blamed, but I don't think he'll solely get blamed. I think his legacy is already tainted as it is. I think if he would have stayed with, when I say tainted, I don't think that's the right word. I think it's changed. I think that if he would have stayed with OKC, let's say he stayed with OKC and he won one or two titles there, I think that'd be more impactful than him winning three titles or four with Golden State, because I think he done it more of a classic way. They'd rather this new wave, this new era wave, you know. I think that he'll still go down as one of those top players of our decade, or maybe even of all time. We never know, right? He wouldn't be on anyone's Mount Rushmore, but I think he's always going to be known as an MVP type caliber candidate. And I just think that, you know, for him, it's one of those things that I don't think championships will define his overall legacy or career. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I hear you. I support players that use their free agency to make moves the best way they see fit, whether it's to stay with who they are with or to go somewhere else for basketball and non-basketball reasons. But I'll always say that Kevin Durant didn't need to go to the Warriors to win a championship. Honestly, neither side needed each other. Yeah, I think about this, man. The Warriors, they already got a championship. They won 73 games, and realistically, they were a Draymond Green using LeBron's scrotum as a speed bag moment away from winning back-to-back titles. Like they didn't need him. And honestly, and I don't care what anybody says, Kevin Durant is too good of a player not to tip the scales in his team's direction wherever he decides to go. Like, think about it. If he joined the Celtics or if he joined Kyle Lowry and DeRozan in Toronto, for example, That's a completely legitimate championship contending team. Like I've always said before, adding Kevin Durant to the Warriors is like adding nitrogen and a turbo button to a Ferrari engine. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just looking back on this, I don't think I'm going to have a good feeling if Kevin Durant wins. Not to say I don't want to see him win, but because, honestly, you feel like they're supposed to win. And like LeBron just showed us the last 6-7 years, history's going to wipe that aside. And eventually the narrative's going to be, hey, Kevin Durant's one of the best players. He's got two titles, yada, yada, yada. Like, I guarantee you in the next 2 years, you start hearing people say how Golden State's really not that good, you know, and they need more players. They need better players. Klay Thompson's overrated. You know what I mean? Like, do I think it's a defining moment? I honestly don't know if it is. But I know personally that if I see him raising the trophy over his head this year, I'm not going to have that feeling like, okay, so for example, like when Jordan won his first title, I was rooting for the Lakers hard. But when I saw him saw him crying, Randall, I was like, you know what? Okay, I feel happy that he won. I felt happy when Akeem won. I felt happy that Shaq won. You know what I mean? I felt happy that, you know, like David Robinson won. Like there's certain teams. I felt happy. I even felt happy when Garnett and them won. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I felt happy for them. Like I was real happy for them. But when LeBron won, when Miami won the first time, I felt really happy for Joel. Like seriously, I felt really happy the fact that, you know, like, you know, that's your family. You know, he's repping Montreal. DDO, you know, so like just for that fact, I felt happy for, you know, I felt really happy for him that he got a ring. But when it came to LeBron, I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I guess he finally won. Cool. You know, I wasn't mad, but I was just like, you know, but you kind of expected it, right?
Yeah.
You kind of expected it the way the team was built. You know, they weren't building that team to not win a title. Like, you know, eventually at some point, they're too good. They're going to win at least one, if not at least a couple, which they ended up doing. So
Do you think they're going to win not one, not two, not three?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that at first. I thought they're going to basically run off the next decade like everybody else when it just happened. But I think as time went along, it's like, okay, you know, because eventually it starts to even out a little bit, right? Like in terms of whether it's injuries, because Miami's biggest thing, honestly, was health. I think you could say more like once Wade started breaking down and the whole, you know, especially now the whole thing with Bosch, like you don't even know if Bosch is ever going to play again at this point, which I hopefully he does not. But I think with them, it was more injuries than anything else. I think if they were still healthy, I think he'd probably still be in Miami right now, you know. But I think that's how history is going to play it out. Once Durant wins a couple of titles, we did a podcast on this last summer. We're ripping the fact that Durant went to join Golden State. But in a few years from now, we're not even going to remember this, as you said. It's just going to be a situation where we're going to be like, yo, man, he's one of the best. He's won titles. Now when you hear LeBron, it's like, yo, he's one of the best. He's won 3 titles. But 6-7 years ago, you were like, yo, of course they're going to win. Look at his nonsense. You know what I mean?
So yeah, we all were.
Yeah. So it is what it is. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm not going to have that feel-good feeling. Like even when Golden State won 2 years ago, I had that feeling for Curry and them boys. You know what I mean? I was happy for those guys to see them win. But I'm not going to have the same feeling if they win. Like, I'll be honest with you. Not this year. You know, I'll just be like, hey, Durant got one. Cool. You know, but it's like you kind of like you're supposed to get it. Could this be the defining finals moment for Steph Curry?
No, I don't think so. I really think, you know what's sad about Steph Curry? I actually am a pretty big fan of him. But you know what Steph Curry is like? Steph Curry is the new Steve Nash. Steph Curry doesn't get the reputation like those elite superstars or respect, I should say, like those elite superstars get within the league and even somewhat within the media. Because if the league doesn't respect him like that, and it kind of leaks out, then the media doesn't. And it's nothing about Steph's game. It's just who he is, his persona. It's kind of like that Steve Nash syndrome where Steve Nash can win MVPs every year. But is Steve Nash going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time, even though his resume speaks for himself?
Well, I mean, honestly, he's definitely going on as a Hall of Famer for sure. Well, obviously, we all know that. I think he's one of the best point guards of his generation. But I understand what you're saying, though. I understand to the extent.
You see what I'm saying? I think that, like, you know, I mean, in my opinion, I you know, you'd think if – I think Steve Nash, you know – didn't get the respect that he deserved. I thought, you know, a lot of times when Steph Curry won his MVPs, you know, except for that one season, I think there's a lot of like question marks around that one there with Harden. You know, oh, Harden should have won it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that even might have spiraled that whole players what's that whole player awards,
the,
right?
The players award, yeah.
Yeah, because I think they really wanted Harden to win it that 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's kind of sad because I think Steph really deserves it, and I think that he's a great player. I think that, you know, also with Durant coming again, I think it's a different type of persona now of this team. This team is I look at it in a different point of way, and that's just my opinion. I could be totally off cuff, and I could be totally wrong. But I just don't think it's going to hurt Steph as much and Durant. I think the person that might hurt the most on Golden State is Draymond Green. And that's because he's still got that dog in him. And if he's going out there, you know, saying we're going to win and we're going to smash them and we're going to come out, we're going to do this, you know, I think he takes a lot of that upfront pressure on, and I think he thrives in it.
I understand your point, but I kind of disagree with you. I actually think that this is the one missing thing on his basketball resume. As great as he's been this last 3 years, I think the one thing that's missing is that defining finals performance. You know, those moments are what makes legends. And in the last two finals, to me, we never got that from him. You could say some of that was injuries. You know, last year he hurt his knee in the first round of that Houston series. And you can argue that he wasn't completely lights out like he was during the regular season after he came back. And you know, and you can kind of see that too, because at the end of Game 7, when he couldn't drive past Kevin Love at the end, you know, which was kind of weird. And then 2 years ago, you know, we got undercut and landed on his head. Remember that against Houston in the Western Conference Finals? Prior to that point, he was like the basketball version of Pyro. But when he came back, like, he was still good, but he wasn't lights out like he was throughout that whole playoffs up until that point. So. But, you know, but at the same time, I don't think you can use that as an excuse in terms of his play on the finals and that alone. It's also on him, too. And at certain points, like even me last year, like I was asking, like, if is Steph okay? Because it just didn't make sense the way he was playing half the time. Like, he just seemed like he was just going through the motions, you know. And now going to the finals, he's as healthy as he's ever been. And they've had a ton of rest in these playoffs. Think about it. They've only played 12 games in the last 6 weeks. So let's see if this has a better effect on his performance, because as incredible as he's been, I'd argue that I'd say that Curry was a combination, especially last year, was a cross between Steve Nash and Abdul Raouf on steroids. Like that's who that guy was last year. So as great as he was at like the highest of his highest peaks, to me, he lost points with his finals performance last year. He has an opportunity here to kind of like reclaim like his spot on the legacy charts for himself. Because like I said, the way he's been playing the last 3 years, two MVPs. Like last year, I mean, Randall, that was some of the craziest shit I've ever seen a player do. You know, and like he had one of those legendary regular seasons, man. Like he really did. But it just, you're waiting for him to put that stamp of approval down in the finals, and we never saw it. So like I think this time, you know, it's all geared up between LeBron versus KD, you know. But I think he has the opportunity to make it his. But we'll see, because I mean, again, he's gonna have his hands full with Kyrie, you know. So we're gonna see what's gonna happen there, because I mean, Kyrie ain't sitting down. Well, you know that much.
You also have to remember one thing is that I mean, it's kind of an interesting scenario. It's probably the first, not the first time, but I mean, this is interesting where it's the defending champs are back in the finals, right? And they're the underdogs, right? Yeah. So it's like the pressure is somewhat off
Cleveland,
LeBron,
yeah,
Cleveland and LeBron, and then yet still. There's still that little, like, you know, that little sports chance or possibility that Cleveland could still pull it off and win. I mean, deep down, as sports fans, we all want a series, right? And wouldn't it be crazy if Cleveland pulls out that win? It'd be crazy, right? And I think that, like you said, you know, would it secure LeBron's legacy? We talked about it earlier.
Yeah. If he wins it, it does definitely add to his legacy for sure. I'll ask you this question. If Kyrie gets the better of Steph again in these finals, where would he rank on the point guard power rankings? Does he rise to the top like a hot single on the Billboard charts?
Yeah, I think that he finally solidifies himself as LeBron's Robin. Like, I think he starts to get that recognition as one of the top point guards of this era, right? Or this generation. It's one of those things that if he has a performance he did last year and they win, he helps secure LeBron's legacy and his as well at the same time.
So you think he's number one on the charts? If he ends up besting Steph again, like best point guard in the league.
I don't know if he's the Drake on the charts. I think he's like a 50 Cent on the charts.
50 Cent like 15 years ago?
In the club.
50 Cent now?
In the club. In the club.
All right.
That single. It's like that hot single, you know, right?
Okay. Got to check. Got to make sure. Who would you say are the X factors in this series?
I think you mentioned one. There's a few, right? I think right now, if Kyrie has that, and to be honest with you, I really think that Kyrie is going to go to work on Steph. That's why I said I don't think Steph. I think he has a stake at this, but I wouldn't think it would ruin his legacy either way, or tarnish it either way, or make it even glorious either way. I think if he wins, it helps it, and I think if he loses, is it that bad? It hurts him, but I don't think it's going to kill him. But I think that Kyrie has the advantage on Steph in this series. I just think that Kyrie is a better offensive player than Steph Curry's defense. Does that make sense?
Yeah. He's...
Right. Like, cause I think Steph Curry's offense is better overall, but I think that Kyrie's defense is a little bit better than Steph. So I think the matchup wise between the two, and I don't think they'll be matched up, because I think Klay Thompson be matched up more on Irvin, but I think that if it comes down to that, I think Kyrie will get the best out of him. I really think the two real main X factors. Kevin Love. Kevin Love has to come out and play. I think on offense he'll be fine. I think the issue with Kevin Love will be his defense, right? Who he matches up with. He's going to be running all over the court chasing whoever they got out there and playing small ball. And I think if he can hold the fort down and really stand out, I think that will secure his legacy, right? Mm-hmm. The other guy that really I think is not a lot of people are talking about him is Klay Thompson.
Right.
You know, I really think that Klay Thompson right now, he's having a great playoffs. He's kind of like that redheaded stepchild right now, you know, because now you got kind of, you know, you got Durant leading the way, you know, Curry's always Curry. And then you got Draymond, who's having a great playoffs, and then he's kind of there, you know. I think he really needs to have that come out party. I think he really needs to step up his game, and I think he'll be the X factor for series.
Yeah, well, you kind of stole. I feel like you cheated off my paper looking at this thing. but I'll say this. I think for Cleveland, I think I agree. I think Kevin Love is an X factor, but I also think Tristan Thompson is an X factor too. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I think at certain points, and especially the game has changed, and it's a faster pace. It's you know, uh-huh. it's a pace and space era. It's, you know, 3-and-D more open and all that stuff. We know and everything else that goes along with that. But I think at certain points, the game will slow down, and controlling the paint is key. So whether it's scoring on the block, which doesn't happen as often as we used to see back in the day, to consistent key penetration, I think the paint is always important. So I think for in terms of Love and Tristan, I think offensive rebounding is so important for the Cavs in this series, like it's been in the last two finals, but I think even more so now. And they got the best two offensive rebounders in the game on the same team. And Kevin Love's been playing really well, man, these playoffs. So if he continues that, I think the Cavs have a real shot. And as for Klay Thompson, I'll say this much. I think if Klay comes to play, Randall, if he's making shots again like the robot that he is at times, I think not only does the series tilts Golden State's way, I'm not entirely sure how competitive this series becomes. And honestly, if that happens, not only I'll tell you right now, not only will I start binge watching House of Cards, I just found out the Boondocks is on the 24-hour loop on the Cody app, man. I'm just saying.
I gotta be careful. I got kids in the house, man. Get a hold of that, man. There goes my rep with my wife. whatever rep I have left is gone.
I think that's if Klay comes and plays, I think it really changes the series and it could be it could almost be in a non-competitive way. It may turn the series into that if he comes and balls out. How much longer do you think the reign for these two teams are gonna last until?
As long as LeBron's with the Cavs, they'll always be contenders.
Right.
I think LeBron has that game. People think, oh, he has only a couple more years, like three more. LeBron has that game. I think he could still go on until he can change his game and be a prototypical four.
Yeah.
Right? Because his game is so different and unique. It has that longevity, barring that he doesn't have any major injury. But right. Age won't slow him down as much, because I think he'll get smarter and better. Kind of like how Jordan did. He evolved with his game, Kobe too. I think he may get a little bit slower, but that's not going to stop him from winning and guiding a team to championships or the finals, I should say, or dominance.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State, that's very interesting. I think if they keep the core together, I would say another 3-4 years. I could see Curry tailing off. I could see his game, you know, kind of getting a little bit erratic. I can see Durant kind of holding the fort down, but you know, I think Draymond will kind of be Draymond, and I honestly could see Klay Thompson moving on to greener pastures, right? And their bench will probably kind of dwindle away. I could see them, you know, always being competitive. You know, maybe it'll be them, but I see other teams probably trying to put something together to compete and knock them off their throne. I think you'll never discount the Spurs. As long as Popovich is there, I think they're always going to have their foot, their finger in the pot. And I think this offseason is going to show.
I'm definitely giving Cleveland next year, for sure.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I think at some point, because listen, man, and we know LeBron's a freak, you know, for all intended purposes. I'm not as faithful in the durability of Kyrie and Kevin Love. So I think at some point my prediction is I think either they'll become injury prone and they'll start to slow down the momentum of that team, or another team's gonna rise, either by adding a big piece or maturing into a championship contender. And two teams in the East I'll say right now I'll nominate is both the Celtics with the cap space and the picks that they have for this draft and the next one, because they outright own Brooklyn's pick again next year. And as I mentioned in the last couple of podcasts, I mean, next year's draft is nothing to sneeze at either. And I think Milwaukee, as long as they can stay healthy and together, and if they can add another piece, I think those guys end up in about after next season. I think they can be special as long as they're all healthy. Greek Freak's going to improve. We know Thon Maker's going to improve. He's a gym rat. If they can keep Jabari Parker and he can stay healthy, you know, I think that could be very interesting. But and at the same time, I think I love to see the Raptors, but I think we'll have a better sense of the direction they're going to take this summer once we see how the chips fall. As far as Golden State's concerned, I could see it lasting about 3 to 4 years. I don't think Curry is going to fall off. I think what we've been seeing the last 3 years, I think he's so efficient. I just think I can't see him really taking a huge dip. If he's anything like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf and Nash hybrid that I've been calling him.
Uh-huh.
And those guys were, even back in those, especially for Abdul Rauf, they're pretty efficient, man. I don't think that changes too much. I mean, maybe he doesn't score as much as he used to, but I don't think the efficiency part of that changes. But I'll say this. It's going to be interesting because I think in 2019, I believe, I think Klay is a free agent. And I think at that point, I agree with you. I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves, especially if he's you know, if he's still a fourth string at that point. I mean, mind you, we're seeing fourth string, he's still getting 20 a night. You know what I mean? He's still making all-star tees. You know, he's probably going to get another all-NBA look, you know, in the future. But at some point, the way it's being set up with the cap and everything else, I don't know if you're going to be able to afford all four of those guys when they keep making all-NBA teams and stuff. Somebody's going to get – it's going to be too expensive. Who's it? And you know it's not going to be Steph, and it's not going to be Kevin Durant. As long as Kevin Durant wants to stay there, they're going to make sure that they keep those two in place. So it really becomes between Draymond Green and Klay. And I think Draymond Green is just too important on on both sides of the floor, the way he plays on defense, and much more importantly, the way he organizes everything on offense. I think he's too important. So really, it's Klay's gonna be the fifth wheel. You know what I mean? So to speak. So I think with him, that's where it's gonna be interesting. I think his free agency comes up in 2019. So we at least know for another 2 years, unless, you know, the Spurs get Chris Paul or Kyle Lowry or one of these guys. Like, I think the West is, they're going to own the West for the next couple of years, at least for sure. But
I don't even think Lowry would tip the scale if he went over there. I think his weight would, but I don't think his game would.
Shots fired.
There's a lot of good food in San Antonio, trust me. Some taco spots there, boy. Some churros, some Taco Tuesdays, boy.
You know what? I'm going to ask these last two questions here. How important is Kerr's absence to the Warriors?
You know what? It's not the first time he sat out for the playoffs. I think in theory, Steve is still around. I don't think he's there, you know, on the sidelines as much as we see him, like present, like visually with the media. Right. But I think he's still around with the team, and in the background, he's still pulling strings. From what I hear, he's still engaged. He's still helping. He just can't be out there all day, right? So, right. I mean, I get it. I mean, the game plan is still the game plan, and it's up to the players to execute it. And I think Steve's done a great job bringing Golden State to that other level. I don't think that's going to necessarily hurt them as much as people think it would.
You know what? I think him being on the bench is definitely more impactful than him being in the locker room, of course. But I agree. I think that, like Luke Walton last year, he's going to have his imprint on the success of the team because, I mean, at the end of the day, he's the one that kind of set this culture up, right? So,
Walton?
No, I'm talking about, Kerr. Kerr's the one that set up this culture. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think he's going to have his imprint on the success of the team.
I don't know, man. See, I still think, it all started with Mark Jackson.
Okay.
I think Mark Jackson set up the culture. I think Steve added the championship element to it. That's what I'll give Steve.
But you know what? I think that Mark Jackson definitely did set the course of it being a positive culture for them. But I'm not sure if Mark Jackson could have did this. And the reason why I say that is because he didn't have the foresight to see what Draymond Green was going to be, for example. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If it was up to him, Draymond Green would still be coming off the bench. So and Dream, you know what I mean? So I think even little things like that, for example, I think he took it to a place we, you know, unfortunately we didn't get to see if he can evolve to that championship coach. But the thing with Steve Kerr, and some of that was, of course, injuries, because I think David Lee got hurt the first few months of Kerr's first season, and once Draymond Green stepped into that power forward role, the rest is history. But, you know, but again, he had the foresight to see certain things out of Draymond Green, let him loose. And that kind of changed the team, as well as what Steph was doing, of course. You know, we can't ignore that. So, but at the end of the day, I think it's, even when he was missing games last year, I think it's, he still had his fingerprints all over, you know, the pulse of that team. So,
absolutely.
You know, but at the same time, I do think it will hurt him not physically being out there, because at the end of the day, I don't want to knock him, you know, but are we going to trust Mike Brown's coaching at the end of games? Because I think, you know, he may be a fine coach, but, you know, if he makes a few gaffes here and there and they lose, it's going to make him look really bad, I think.
Yeah, I'm not arguing. I think we're on the same page with that. Mm-hmm. I think that, but Calvin, I don't think he'll be that close, in my personal opinion, to blame Mike Brown for anything. This is my personal opinion.
Okay, and we'll get to that predictions at the end. But, you know, I'll just say this. At some point, I think somebody is going to have to replace Kerr as coach, because I kind of wonder, in terms of health-wise, how much longer he's going to be able to go out every night dealing with the back pain night after night, you know, practice, after games, after flights. I feel for him, man. Listen, back pain and back issues is absolutely nothing to sneeze at, man. Listen, I've had pretty good health when it comes to my back personally, but I remember, Randall, one time I was going somewhere and I was at a gas station. I went to go reverse And I turned my head back, and that was it. My whole back locked up to the point where I could barely breathe. And I remember I missed basically the, I was out for the rest of the week. I could barely lay down. You know what I mean? And that was just, I think I just had like a little pinched nerve, and I ended up getting it like massaged out, like doing rehab for like a week or so before it got better.
And I'm not a guy that, five Asian ladies step on your back?
Essentially, yeah, basically. but you know what though? But, and again, I'm not a guy that has back issues. So I can't, so I can't imagine having back issues, then having surgery to find out it's unsuccessful and I have a spinal cord leak. And you know what I mean? And I'm still feeling the effects of it 2 years later. You know what I mean? And then again, you're having to run this corporation in terms of the Warriors and having their, like, setting the bar high to the point where you're expecting to win titles every year and all that. Like, you know, to have all that pressure on top of your back issue. I mean, I don't wish that on anybody, man. I'll be honest.
Nope. I pulled my back this winter and shoveling. I can tell you, man, it was embarrassing and it hurts. I was out for the count, man. I was like, age is a muddle.
The final question, the answer we all want to hear. Who wins this series and in how many games? I think I kind of know your answer already, but
I think the whole world knows the answer. except the Cleveland fans. I really think, you know, in my humble opinion, I think Golden State in six. I think either six or in five. I think that Golden State won the first two games at home convincingly. I do think that Cleveland will win one at home, probably the first, and then I think they'll close it out again at home. Possibly, you know, in game, you know, five, Cleveland might pull one off, but I highly doubt it. I just think that they just can't match up. Pound for pound, they just can't match up.
Let me ask you a question. Is there a camera that you have hovering over my head that I feel like you're reading off my paper, man. Like, I don't understand what's happening here. Well, I kind of say the same thing. I think Golden State wins this series in five. I think in five, maybe six games at most. And honestly, if Clay's playing really well, it could possibly be a sweep. Now, maybe I should change my prediction because I've basically been saying the same thing for the last three finals. And I would have been right, too, if not for Draymond Green getting suspended last year. I think they would have won in five. I just think – I'm like you. I just think – Golden State's firepower is just too much. And while the Cavs are playing really well right now, especially the way they wiped out the Eastern Conference, their D hasn't been the greatest. It's not really that strong, and it's not as consistent as Golden State. As great as Golden State is on offense, on D, they're just as nice. And I think that's what gets Cleveland exposed here. And then the other point is this. LeBron is super motivated. You know, he wants to attach that title to – you know, over this particular team to add to his legacy. But I think Golden State is equally motivated, as well as Kevin Durant getting the second opportunity to win his first title. Like, I think it's going to be entertaining finals for sure. But again, I see it going five. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a sweep. Now, if I'm wrong, if my prediction is wrong, I'm going to re-edit the end of this podcast and change it so that history can...
I always knew that LeBron would win.
I was a believer. I'm gonna change the course of history so that it reflects that I got this exactly right.
Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. I think you said, you alluded to something earlier where you said, you know what, you know, I think you're reading off the paper. I don't think both of us, I don't think we have no dog in this fight. No. So we can be very objective on what the outcome is. I mean, I'll be honest, if it was a Raptors, I kind of be like, oh, Raptors maybe win, squeak out one. We all know Raptors win it. But as a fan, I think we always wish the best on the team. I hope, you know, for basketball's sake, and for entertainment value, I hope that it becomes, you know, at least goes to six games. Yeah. You know, if it went to seven, that'd be insane. I don't think anybody's expecting that. But you know what? We're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah. Tonight, game one goes down. So
yes, sir.
We'll see what happens. On that note, brother, thank you so much for coming on this podcast as usual. Just wash your cup before you put it in the dish tray. That's all I ask. yeah, man. Thank you for breaking down the finals.
You got any extra ice in that fridge for my knees?
Yeah. I got them ice bags ready to go.
Yo, I'm telling you, age is a mofo. Balling with 12 euros ain't gonna cut it no more, brother.
Nope, not at all. Thank you so much for breaking down the finals podcast here.
Yes, sir. South Shore, represent.
Thank you all for tuning in once again to the AF Podcast. Let's hope that this is a series we end up talking about for the next 20 plus years, and not something we forget about a week after the finals is over. As a sports fan, I mean, that's all you can ask for, right? We want to be entertained, for better or for worse. Anyway, special shout out to Randall Walter for coming on the AV, kicking his feet up, and shooting the shit with us regarding this year's NBA Finals. We'll probably have a podcast to wrap up the NBA Finals and the season, as well as the NBA Draft Lottery, the NBA Awards, and like last year, we'll have a pod about the 2017 NBA offseason as well. So make sure you look out for that, as well as the Boomerang Podcast, based on the 25th anniversary of the classic movie, and launching Season 2 of The Stoop, which will be a series of mini podcasts this summer as well. Make sure you look out for all of it. And for you first-timers, thank you once again for tuning in, and make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAV.com right now for all your future podcast shows. Once again, that's SouthShoreAV.com. Hit the follow tab on the right bottom corner of your screen. For Randall Walter, this is Cal C. And this is the AF Podcast on South Shore AV Radio. Until the next pod, folks. Peace. We out.